Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. The earth's under curse. I'm not. I'm born again. I have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, placed in the kingdom of God's dear son. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I might be behind enemy lines, but I don't belong to the enemy. I got the armor of God. I got the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. My job is to storm hell, not thumbsuck about it. So all of a sudden, financially, I remember Denise and I going through this growing up in poverty. We thought, we got to get out of this. We have got to get out of this poverty mess. How are we going to do that? Well, we got to change the way we think, because evidently we think poor. We think poverty. Well, you just hope we get by. Hope we have a good year. Hope we don't get laid off. Hope the transmission doesn't fall out. Hope the refrigerator door stays shut. I hope the dryer door won't fall over. My God, I hope we don't get the flu. I said, praise God, it was a good year. Nothing bad happened. I realized we're going to have to change this. So the financial book you got in your hand is a result of what Denise and I went through years ago. We didn't write a book. We were trying to get out of financial hell. So we put this together not as a book. We put this together as a couple trying to realize we got to bust this thing off of us. We cannot repeat this curse of poverty that's coming down our family line. I mean, we made certain decisions, like all of our kids are going to go to college, because nobody in our family had gone to college. Nobody, you know. So we're going to make sure all our kids get college degrees. So not only to get degrees, I went to private college. I violated every law you can imagine, man. We're going to stick your neck out, hold it out further than you can hold it up yourself. Just get it out there. And so Sarah and Jessica, my older two, went to Oral Roberts University on scholarships. Lauren and Corey went to Lee University, private university of Tennessee, on scholarship. Lauren, my fifth daughter, she's the O'Moore School of Design up in Franklin. That's an expensive school. Well, she's on scholarship, and John's finished up a senior at Oral Roberts University. He's on scholarship. He said, boy, you sure got lucky. There ain't no such thing as luck. There's God, the devil, heaven, and hell. We're in the middle like an Oreo cookie. You better get some attitude about you. You better get aggressive, figure out. So I needed some free money. So, buddy, I went and visited schools and offices and people and professors. How do you get free money? People get scholarships every day. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I want myself some wealth. Who's got some? And I'm looking for it. And so we took tests and figured out how to get a high SAT score. Started practicing tests in seventh grade. And so people say, how'd you get all that scholarship money? Work for it. Found out where it was, beat on doors, took tests, got stuff. Like, boy, you sure are lucky. There ain't no such thing as luck, but we are blessed because God promised he had opened doors no man can shut, shut doors no man can open, and bless everything we set our hand to. So not only did we get our kids out of college, they went out to a private college, did real stinking good. And it doesn't end there, because every day you get to believe God. This is not a destination. This is a journey. Every day of your life. Right now, we've been taking care of our parents for the last 3 years. We didn't know they were going to get Alzheimer's and get old and die. We didn't know we were going to spend thousands of dollars when we're, you know, hitting our 60s. What are we going to do? Spend thousands for our parents. Parents left for the children, children left for the parents. So our own kids have asked, where you been the last 3 years? Chattanooga, taking care of our family. Said, you need to pray we live real long and healthy. We're going to come live with you. You think I'm joking? All right, here we go. Blessed or broke. I'm going to read a few things here. This is called Wealth Consciousness. I'm going to jump in and just kind of lay some stuff out for you. I read a lot of good books. I read a secular book in the airport years ago in Dallas. Talking about wealth. This guy, him and his wife, they lived up in Minnesota. And they're Democrats. They hate Republicans. Said when the Democrats get in office, we get hired, we get a raise. When the Republicans get in office, we get laid off and we get fired. And so they're not Christian. They're just different. But he realized something. I got to do something financially. So in 2.5 years, he read 64 books on money. He just started going to the library and checking out books on money. He said, evidently, I don't have a clue about money. I've got a degree. I'm a great teacher, but I don't know how money works. And so the whole story of his book was how, you know, by the time he retired, he had $2.1 million in the bank. It's like, what'd you do? Well, I learned to buy stuff. You know, that if my kids use it, I figured it'd be a good stock. So I, Nike, we're buying all kinds of Nike stuff, you know, so I was invested in Nike. And my kids use it, I bought stock in it. You know, I might buy a $10 stock or a $15 stock. And so he began to watch how he handled his money, man. They had a vacation home up on Lake Michigan and went through stuff. I thought, well, dear God, if a heathen can do that, why can't a Christian do that? So, well, we got no vision. Well, there's no vision, the people perish. I got to be a vision for something. So Denise and I began to sit down. We realized something. We're going to have to change our attitude. So I love this. This is Brooke Stevens. I went through, I didn't read 60-something books. I only read 57. But I read 57 books in 2 years to educate myself about money. So we're going to get ourselves blessed and wealthy. We're going to be filthy, stinking rich. I said, we're not taking money to heaven with us. We're leaving every dime of it behind. You don't get to take it with you. But you need to steward it. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. So I'm not spending anybody's inheritance. I'm leaving money behind. And so you had to change your attitude. Of course, well, how old are you? I don't care how old I am. I'm going to live forever anyhow. The Bible says so. That went past you real quick. I'm eternal. You're eternal. Everybody lives forever somewhere. If you're born again, you live forever in heaven. So what are we going to do? I'm going to live forever. You can't even count how old I'm going to be. There's no number. So you feel old? I ain't old. I'm eternal. One day this body will drop off. I'll get me another. I'm still here, boys. I'm still around. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm going to live forever, so I don't worry about growing old. I got a piece of you. I love my age. My God, I don't want to go back. So this is called Wealth Consciousness. I love this lady. She wrote a book called Wealth Happens One Day at a Time. Her name's Brooke Stevens. Grew up in Harlem, poor as dirt. Got born again, goes to church, believes in paying her tithe. Went to Harvard, graduated, writes for the New York Times, and she's incredible. Incredible woman. Wrote this book, though, and here's what she said in the beginning of her book. The research that she did showed that our parents and the influential people in our lives when we are growing up greatly define what we come to believe as adults about our ability to prosper. I'm at the top of page 10. Second paragraph. In other words, we grew up believing that we were undeserving or unable to have any of the material things that would make our lives easier, more enjoyable, no matter how hard we work or how quickly we accomplished our financial goals, our attitudes and underlying beliefs about ourselves would eventually destroy us. What you think about money is critical. It's critical. As a man thinks his heart, so is he. You got to think right. Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables that man to enjoy them and his work and his lot in life, that is a gift from God. For that man will seldom reflect on the past days of his life, for God will keep that man occupied with gladness of heart. Coming out of poverty and poverty mentality and teaching on poverty, I had to get that out of me, and I didn't do it overnight. What Pastor shared is just critical. You got to get in a group with other people, and you got to hang there and stay there till Jesus comes. Man, I had to get 3 by 5 cards, and we started to have other people over to our house who thought different than we did, who read different than we did, who believed different. Hang on, I got to start thinking different because I'm hanging with a bunch of other poor people. Well, dear God, we're just glad we're here, you know. Well, I'm not. This stinks. I got to get out of this mess. Anyhow, number 2, right there in the middle of that page, real men accept responsibility. This is a classic one, 1 Timothy 5:8. If any man does not provide for his family financially, he is worse than an infidel. He is as one who has denied the faith. My job is to financially take care of my family. Now, guys, when I grew up, life was different. My dad made $10,000 a year. We had a $55 a month rent house. I mean, for $35 a week, you could eat steak. Well, that changed. My senior in high school, gasoline was 23 cents a gallon. 23 cents. It jumped all the way up to 28. My dad refused to drive to work. Seriously, he walked it to pond. He walked it. He said, 29 cents. That will kill America. We cannot afford gasoline, 29 cents a gallon. I said, my God, we should have bought a lake and buried a bunch of it. That would have been. We live in two economies. Page 12, you can read through this. Two economies. One's faith and one is work. Faith without works is dead. Work without faith is dead. I need to believe that God wants me blessed, but I got to find out what my deal is, what my gift is that will make room for you, me, make me money, make me wealthy. What gift am I good at? So I've always been big on in education, on teaching our kids. The reason our school in Tulsa, Oklahoma was the number one academic school for 5 years was because I taught our kids to find out what they're good at. Quit trying to be good at something you stink at. Everybody's good at something, or God lied. Your gift to make room for you, bring you before kings and make you wealthy. Not your sister's gift, not your brother's gift, not your daddy's gift. your gift. But if you don't know you have one, you're just going to be a thumb sucker till Jesus comes. You got to find out that you're gifted. So we went through that process of finding out the two economies and how you succeed in both of them. Page 17, sort of right in the middle. This is a plaque I put on my wall. Right in the middle. It says, money and God. One I serve, the other serves me. Because people think, well, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. Love of money is the root of all evil. I don't love money. I love my wife. Suck the lips off that woman's face. I love that woman. I don't love money. I need money. So my wife, I like to suck the lips off her face. She needs some. My kids need money. You know, my mortgage company needs money. And, you know, the automobiles, they all need money. So I don't love money. I love other stuff. But I need money. I better know how it works. God is into the family. It's the first thing he made. And if you read in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it's the first thing he lost. When Adam and Eve sinned, they got fired from the job, evicted from the house, and their kids started killing each other. But God had a plan for the family. He had a plan through his son coming to earth. And so all of a sudden, once we had the silent night, holy night, we through kings and more in our story, we now have hope. God is rebuilding the family. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah 61, God said he would revive, repair, restore, rebuild the family. And so that's what we do. We hold seminars, about 80 seminars all over the country, teaching on marriage, parenting, men, money, anything to do with the home. Because, man, the pressure is picked up. You know, I remember when I got out of high school, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. We could rent a house for $55 a month. I mean, things got expensive. Things changed. And boy, the pressure's built up. Now almost every family's got having to have two incomes to make it. And we got a lot of single-parent families today. But God has not lost us. He said in the last days he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. The man, things are going to happen in our families. And I believe it's happening right now. But it happens through the knowledge of his word. So what we do is we teach. Now we call this a laugh and learn experience. People come out and we have seminars on, again, every area of the home, you know, whether it's your financial life or your married life. You know, we used to kid and say, you know, marriage is nothing more than two ignorant people growing up together. It's just a fun time. Kids, you know, once you have them, you can't take them back. It's not like you buy something at Walmart, you can go return it. They're going to be with us forever. And God knew that. He said to train them up and to teach them. So what we found out, there is a method, believe it or not, to having a great family. It said in 1 Peter 3 that you and I all have the kind of family that makes somebody else jealous. Listen, guys, there's no perfect families. I don't have a perfect family. Got a good one. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day and they get back up. We're not the perfect people. We're the getting back up people. We learn how to repent quick, forgive quick, and get back up. God promised us that he'd satisfy us with a lot of things. With long life will I satisfy you, show you my salvation. Length of days will be in your hand. Riches and honor will be in the other. God's promised some great stuff. Well, why don't we see it? Well, because we live on an alien planet. Satan is the legal god of this planet. He got it when he stole it from Adam and Eve in the garden. The thing is, we don't belong to him anymore. If you're a born-again believer, I belong to the kingdom of God. I've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Thing is, if you don't know that, the devil's a liar. He'll mess with you. So what we do seminars in our Faith for Families ministry. We go in and we have open sessions. We'll start off usually with the first session about what the problem was. You know, in our first session on marriage, we talk about the differences in men and women. When I married my wife, I thought, my goodness, I've married somebody just like me. Man, we like the same food, the same John Wayne movies. We like the same everything, the same movies. It didn't take about 3 months in our marriage. We realized, oh, my goodness, I've married my absolute total opposite. We couldn't agree on anything. And now, all of a sudden, 3 years in our marriage, we're ready for a divorce. I hated her guts, and she hated mine. And what happened? Well, we married the wrong person. I either married too early or too late or something. And I realized, no, according to the Word of God, I married my exact opposite. Nobody explained that to me when I got married. You know, when God made the creation, everything he made was good. Everything was good. Good, 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 very good. The first time God said, not good, he was looking at a man. He's looking at Adam. And all of a sudden, Adam said, what did you say? God said, not good. Adam said, what's not good? You. What's not good? He said, you're alone. I'm going to make you a helper. So God made a woman. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. When God made a woman, he made something better. You know, the average woman's got a higher IQ. She's got a better immune system. She has a bigger vocabulary. She's got better manual dexterity. When God made a woman to help man, he made something better. When he looked at Adam and said, you need help, he didn't make another Adam. Now I've got two doofuses to deal with. He actually made a helper. And so what we learned today is that when you get married, you married your opposite by divine appointment and as a gift from God. God gave us everything we didn't have. My wife's smart where I'm not smart, talented where I'm not talented. I'm smart where she's not smart. I'm talented where she's not talented. That's why the Bible says two are better than one. Now, we didn't know that. We thought, well, we never get along. That's because you never see the problem with the same viewpoint. You know, when we got married, we realized something. Denise and I, we just never agreed on anything. And it wasn't until we got in the Word of God, we realized, oh, this is how God set it up. Two are better than one. If any two shall get in agreement on anything, it'll be done of our Father which is in heaven. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. We realized the power of two. Not because we saw the problem the same, but because we saw it different. You know, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Why? Because you agree? No. I see something you don't see. I heard something you don't hear. If we two can get together, we're going to become a problem-solving machine. That's what a marriage is. A marriage is a problem-solving machine. Then God said children were his reward. I remember sitting in the class one time when I heard that scripture. Children are a reward from the Lord. I thought, man, that's the worst thing I ever heard. There's no way that can be true. We've got six of them. I don't see a rewarding thing about it. Man, they were costing us money before they ever came out of the womb. And then once they came out of the womb, they cost more money. Man, they're tearing stuff up, flushing stuff they shouldn't, not flushing stuff they should, trying to get into the past algebra and diagram and sentence. Like, when are you going to leave home? God said, no, I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to let you train them up. Then eventually you're going to give them back to me, and I'm going to do something great with them. It's a great honor to parent. It's a privilege to parent. It's work to parent. But God's told us how to do it throughout the Word of God. He tells us how to teach and to train. He said, our children, Psalms 130, our children, Psalms 112, verse 1 through 3, will bring great honor to our name. Great honor. Not embarrassed. You ever been embarrassed as a parent? I have. Like, what have? My God, what's wrong with them? Well, my wife said, go look in the mirror. They're just like you, Joe. And I realized something. Like kind reproduces like kind. As a parent, I don't need my kids to grow up. I needed to grow up. And that's why the local church is the most powerful thing on this planet. It's in the local church that iron strikes iron. It's in a local church where you sit under a pastor and you learn the Word of God. It's in a local church, you fellowship with other saints. You get to be a blessing and help people as much as you get help. And that's where you start growing in the grace and knowledge. I love fellowship with my kids. We still don't agree on everything, but we're all growing in God. And I'm telling you, it's a great thing God's doing. So, building families, putting them back together, giving them the tools they need to have a happy, successful, prosperous, long marriage and long life. And God's going to do it through His Word. He really is.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.